Welcome to the Mystic Millennials podcast, hosted by Abby
and Bethany. This is a podcast to share the reality of spirituality and what it is really like to be 20-somethings navigating a spiritual awakening.
Join us weekly as we become your new spiritual BFFs, sharing all about our own journeys while celebrating the amazing people who inspire, motivate, and encourage us to embrace our modern mysticism. Let's get into the episode. Hey everyone. Hey Beth. Welcome back.
Hey Abby. I feel so like out of practice.
I know. It's so well, I mean, we recorded like 2 weeks ago, but a solo episode between us hasn't happened since the Eclipse Hangover one.
Yeah, literally. So like a month ago. Almost like what the hell?
We're both just feel like our schedules, like we get busy at different times, but you've got an exciting time at the moment.
I do. As this episode airs, I will be completely finished my job. I have resigned. I am stepping fully into the astrology biz, which is super exciting. So yeah, no, I'll be a free bloody agent. I'll be free all the time. But yeah, I know. I just felt so weird logging on this morning. I was like, what do I do?
I don't know.
I
was like yesterday, I was like, oh, I miss Beth. Like, I feel like we haven't even had a chance to talk in general. So this is going to be like a bit of a catch-up episode, but we were also talking and we wanted to kind of make this, it's going to be our last episode of 2021. And then we're going to go on our little Christmas break. So a little bit of a roundup of the year.
Yeah.
Roundup of our years and just how we're feeling.
Yeah. Looking back at the year that was.
Yeah.
It's been a year. And you know what? It has been the year of pop culture. Like, I swear, I've been so deeply enthralled in all of the, like, I feel like this, if we were to sum up the year with anything, it's celebrity relationships, right? Like, this year's celebrity matches have been unparalleled.
Absolutely. Bennifer,
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. In fact, together.
Yes. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Wild.
What's it?
And then the whole like that whole, you know, Travis and Courtney and Shane Kelly and Megan Fox and Kim and Pete.
Yeah, like, Kim and Pete. Me. What the heck? Is that actually official?
It's surely a hoax. Surely, maybe by the time this airs in like 2 weeks, can you imagine if like it turns out, like we find out that it was a hoax, I would die.
Oh,
but
I
don't know. I get a weird vibe. But I tell you what, who has had a good year is that Pete Davidson. He has dated some really great people recently. He's killing it. And you know what? I never got it. Like, I've never understood it. And then I watched the Jonas Brothers family roast on Netflix. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. I was literally going to watch it last night.
No, it's really funny.
Okay, I'll watch
and
it.
And Pete Davidson was like talking and I was like, oh, he's really funny. And I was like, oh, I get it.
And he's like, tall.
Yeah, he's tall.
So I think that gets funny. A lot of people.
He looks kind of unintimidating. Okay.
Like, all right, yeah.
All right, Pete Davidson, I see you with your weird tattoos. I get it.
I watched an interview with him and Miley because they're hosting something together. I'm not sure what they're doing. Yeah, and I was like, I ship them, honestly.
Well, they dated.
Did they? Oh.
I swear to God. Okay. I was listening to a podcast last night who was talking all about like, you know, the year that's been, all that sort of stuff. Similar to what we're chatting about. And I swear they said Miley and Pete dated and like had like matching tattoos or something.
They had matching tattoos because I watched an interview and they talked about how they were doing a skit on SNL and it was them like being babies but rapping, so like trap babies, I think that's what they said anyway. Oh, and like some, you know, what are they called, producer of SNL came in and was like, what are you guys doing? And they were like, we babies. And then they were like, ha 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 ha, that's a hilarious tattoo. And they got Pete's tattoo artist to come and then they got wee babies, but then he lasered it off and
she didn't. Well, yeah, that's so funny. We love a joke tattoo. I have a joke tattoo actually.
Do you? Shut up. Yeah. What is it?
So when me and my cousin were on Kentucky, it was our first like time traveling together.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I literally just started at my job. So it was like 5 years. So I'd like just turned like 20. Like, oh no, I was about to turn 20. I was like a baby.
Yeah.
And on our Kentucky tour, we had this tour guide, his name was Damo. And he was like
Damo.
Useless. Like he was dead useless. Like God bless him. He was useless. And we'd literally like be in the coach, like all so excited to be like seeing everything. And he'd just be like, if there was like a monument, like we literally were driving through Paris and there was the Eiffel Tower. And he just was like, on the left. So we'd all look to the left. And that's it. He wouldn't explain what it was. And they'd just be like, we'd be driving off this cliff. There'd be all these like beautiful boats. And he'd just be like, on the right. And we'd all just have a look. So, oh no, views to the left, views to the right. And that was just the whole tour. Like he was such a slack hole because he would always be hungover. Everyone that's ever done a Kentucky, I feel like would relate to that. Like we've all had that tour guide.
Yeah.
And totally. So, yeah, like just literally would just be like views to the left and we'd look and it would be like the Arc de Triomphe. And it's like the most amazing thing ever. And he's just like, meh. Like he's there with his microphone, like wanting to like.
It is what it is. I've seen it 20 times this year.
And have he wants a fucking BB at the end of the day. He's just like, yeah, views to the left. So I got views to the left tattooed on my left ankle. And my cousin got views to the right tattooed on her right ankle.
I love that. Does Damo know?
Yeah, we got it on Kentucky. We got it on our last night because everyone, you know, I don't know. Have you been on Kentucky?
I have been on a Kentucky, but I've been on like Paddy Wagon, which is like Irish one.
Yeah, similar. Yeah, yeah.
Similar things. Yeah. Love Croatia.
Yeah. So like, I don't know if it's like a general thing, but like everyone's just like, yeah, of course I'm going to get a tattoo at the end. Like our tour had been saying that the whole time. Like our tour finished in Amsterdam and everyone was like, yes, getting a tattoo in Amsterdam. I hadn't had a tattoo before. Neither of my cousins. It was at both our first tattoos. And everyone was like, yeah, dead keen. We walked up there. We were the only two that got these tattoos.
Of course.
But like someone else came and they got something different. But yeah, we were like, fuck it, we'll get like views to left. That's we just thought it was really funny.
Yeah, that's so hilarious.
The last night we got on the coach, we were like, oh, we Damo was like, where'd you guys go today? We're like, oh, we went actually got tattoos and I showed him. And he literally stopped the whole bus and got the microphone and was like, these girls got my words tattooed on them. It was like going off about it. It was really funny. I have a joke tattoo. And honestly, everyone get a joke tattoo. It's such a funny story because it's really funny because it's in this like really beautiful script, but it's like, you know, when script is kind of like unreadable, script tattoos never look nice for long. And so everyone's always like, what does that say? I'm like, oh, views to the left. They're like, oh, what? Oh, that what's the story behind that? Like my shit Kentucky tour manager used to say that and I thought it was really funny. So
everyone's expecting like a meaningful quote or like someone's name.
It's like an excerpt from Shakespeare. No, it was my Kentucky manager. So and then I've continued to get stupid tattoos ever since.
Well, funny, I had one it's very much faded, but this very small tattoo was my first one that one day my best friend's sister has a tattoo studio now, but about 3 years ago, she didn't have a tattoo license or anything. So I was like, practice on me. Like, obviously, do a stick and poke on me. And I really trust her because she's a nurse. So she's really like hygienic and like, I was like, it's so tiny, like, you know, all good. All right. And so my best friend and I got this matching with each other. And then she went on exchange after that. And in the summer, I went and met her overseas. And we're like, we're going to get tattoos while we're over here. And so we'd be planning it the whole trip. And Amsterdam rolls around.
Oh, God.
I know.
How weird.
And I really love stick and poke and like fine line tattoos. And so we were trying to find a fine line tattoo artist. And we obviously didn't plan it very well. And we just were going around to every tattoo studio being like, hey, do you have any appointments today? No. And we need this specific kind of artist as well. Yeah. And we walked into one and she had a cancellation and she was like, yeah, I can do fine line. And we looked at her Instagram. And we were like, holy shit, she's really good. Like, let's get two tattoos each.
Whoa.
What a mistake. We did not plan. I didn't know what I was getting at the start of the day. We were like, yeah, let's get tattoos. like just like on the spot, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get this one. And I really do like this one. It's like eucalyptus leaf,
yeah,
but it's like not, I need more on it to be completely happy. And then I was like, I need something else, and I got this stupid fucking flower.
That is okay. So for those that
I can't hate see, it
there's this flower and it's kind of like in the crux of Abby's elbow crease, but like,
yeah,
on the outs. It's a very bizarre placement for a tent.
It is, but I'm gonna get more there, so that's,
yeah,
that's why I put it anyway. Really, I hate funny. It I hate it.
That can be cut up so easily though.
I know, I it's okay. And so this is my accidental joke tattoo that I'm like, oh, that was fucking in Amsterdam. And we were doing all the Amsterdam things, you know what I mean? Like getting high. We were, I'm not sure like what we were not in our right mind that day.
They should honestly, in Amsterdam, they really actually should drug test people before they get a tattoo, because that must happen.
It could have turned out way worse. Like it's very small. It's fine. But like my friend got like a random Monstera leaf and she was like, why the fuck did I get that? Despised it ever since. We both got one we like and one we're like, what the fuck. Anyway, what is it with Amsterdam and tattoos? It's just like we,
well, it's those Amsterdam compulsion vibes, boy. It is. You just, you know, get swept up in the joy of it. But straight up, Amsterdam's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to. It is so pretty.
It is so pretty. And I, my family on my dad's side's all Dutch, so I love just Holland in general as well. Homely vibes, homely vibes, familial vibes. But Amsterdam,
going back to the fuck, to the motherland,
to the motherland, please. But yeah, Amsterdam's great. Everyone should definitely go there, not just for the weed. If you don't want to get high, you don't have to get high.
Also, what if?
But it's very good as well.
It's not bad. Yeah, I know. Well, that ties into like me and Abby were talking about, you know, obviously you guys know we do a weekly win and whinge, and we're like, oh, we should do like a win and whinge for the year, right?
Yes.
Like, you know, round out the year. And we'd love to hear yours. Please get at us. Message us.
Oh my God.
If you're watching on YouTube, comment below. Let us know what is your yearly win and whinge. That ties into my whinge, which is that I still can't fucking leave the state and I want to travel so dang bad. This Sagittarius is trapped.
True.
I'm missing out on my prime travel years and I'm over it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to steal your whinge, but like absolutely same. I think my whinge is probably just like COVID in general. All the things that come with it. Like, yeah, I like Beth and I are in the same country, but we're not allowed to visit each other's states.
It is easier for Abby to go to London than it is for her to come on a 5-hour plane ride to my state.
I'm currently allowed to go overseas, but I cannot visit Beth. Devastating. Yeah. Absolutely devastating.
Hell bitter about it.
But we're going to see each other. We're going to see each other next year.
We are. Well, as we record this, apparently my premiere is supposed to be announcing my premiere, not the state's one, mine. Mark McGowan works directly for premier. Me. Marky Mark.
Yeah, Marky Mark.
He's supposed to be announcing today the official date for the hard water drop, which hopefully tees up with the fact that I want to be in Sydney in April and Melbourne. So
surely.
But he likes to screw me over, that beautiful bastard.
Bloody Marky Mark. Is he a well-liked premier? I don't really follow other states' politics.
I don't really follow politics in general. I think he
neither.
He was like, he got like, it wasn't even because he got we had a vote, I think it was early this year, late last year. There was no question he was going to get reelected. Like, yeah, it was okay. Very certain. But I believe his popularity has dropped since he's just been so intense with the borders.
Yeah.
Like, where other states are like, yeah, no, like, you know, we're vaccinated, we're opening up. He's just like, no, we've got to keep it out of the community. And I think we're all just at this point, we're just like, well, that's kind of just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like,
it is a haven, like, just for any listeners who are not in Australia. Like, Western Australia is like very separate and like a haven with no COVID.
It is. So, yeah, we're completely, I think Perth, where I am, is, I think it's like the most isolated city in the world because it's the furthest from any other city. And so when COVID started, our premier, Mark McGowan, started a hard border. That would have been in like the April, May of like 2020. And it's stuck.
Like, side note, feel like we're still in 2020.
Yeah.
2022 like,
I'm not processing the energy of 2020. Y'all, it's 2022 in about fucking 18 days. So strap your boots in because it's going to be a wild ride. Yeah, no, that's stressful to me. But yeah, the hard borders basically stayed. To be fair, I think we have not had, as far as I'm aware, I don't keep up to date with it anymore. I don't believe we've had any recorded COVID deaths in Western Australia. We've had a total of like maybe 7 or 8 weeks lockdown. Because we just shut the borders and didn't let anyone in or out, which was, you know, and that's why I think he was quite popular at the start. Cause people were like, yes, amazing. Like we got to go back to work. We got to go back to the pubs. We got to go back to our life quite quickly.
Yeah.
You know, we were one of the first like kind of states in the world that like went back to having festivals and concerts, like those sorts of things. But now it's kind of like, we're getting left behind because we're refusing to just accept that we actually just can't stay like that. You know, that there's people that like people need to travel for work and to see their families and all these sorts of things. And yeah, like I could leave the state now. Like I could come to Sydney. I could get on a plane tomorrow, but on my way back, I'd have to quarantine for 2 weeks.
You have to pay for it as well, don't you?
If I'm fully vaccinated, which I am, and even if I had a negative test, I would still have to quarantine for 2 weeks. And it's just not viable for most people.
It's just... Tenure.
So that's my whinge.
Fair enough. Absolutely back that whinge. I think it's a collective whinge as well.
So, yeah. I think that's like the motto of 2021. It's just like over it.
Yeah.
Especially coming to this end of the year, this post-eclipse season. How are you going post-eclipse season as well? The eclipses are done. We've had our two. We've got a break. How are we?
The first one wasn't so bad for me. I was like, all right. I was like, oh, yay. Like, you know, I had like opportunities come my way and things like naturally fall away. It wasn't very intense. But the second one hit me.
Six.
Yeah.
It just hit me. It's straight up. It threw those hands.
It bowled me over. I was just like really feeling a lot of heaviness. You were talking about how you had a friendship kind of fall away. Similar thing happened to me. And just like things like that felt really uncomfortable to let go of, but I knew, you know, it was almost a long time coming. And just like tired, but feeling good now. I'm back into it. I mean, I feel like our recording break was like representative of our time of like hibernation as well, because I haven't been as active on social media. And I'm ready to emerge again. What about you?
No, I'm in the complete same.
I feel like you're a bit similar.
Yeah, I think literally in the month, last month, I've maybe posted like 3 photos on the business page. I've not been on my stories. I tried to film a story and I just felt like I looked so sad. Like, and that was just my vibe for a month. Like I was just so down.
I know. And people can feel that as well. Like,
yeah,
exactly. If you're putting something up, like,
bring that to anyway. It was just, blah. Yeah, I felt, obviously everyone knows my feelings on the first eclipse. I shared it all with that eclipse hangover episode. The second one, I was feeling just as bad literally until the day of, and then I woke up and I was like, oh, she's back. Like, it's just like my like soul just re-entered my body momentarily. I think it was because it was in Sag. I'm a Sag sun. I was loving it. So yeah, I've been feeling really good. But now today we have got Mars entering Sagittarius. So today's Monday, 13th of December. So by the time we listen, Mars is going to be in Sag.
I like that vibe.
I am irritated. If you have any Sagittariuses in your life, give them a hug.
Give them a break.
Give them a safe place to lose it, because I am losing it.
Oh no. I was like, so... I kind of like that feeling.
Yeah. Well, it depends where it sits in your, I think
tell me about it.
For me, especially the first week of it, it's just sitting on top of my sun and my Pluto. Like, so
totally
wherever Mars is, it can just add this like intensity and this tension and like irritation almost. And that's just where I'm at. Like, I have all this energy, but I'm just highly irritable. So that can be, you know, if you've got Sagittarius placements, give yourself a bit of love this month, because the Mars in Sag,
so sorry.
It energizes us, right? It like gives us all this motivation, but it can also bring up like just irritation. And that's just me. I'm just like, literally me and my partner last night just spent the whole night just like, like, you know, just like the smallest thing.
Yes.
Just like both so irritated at each other, but that's life.
Yay.
I literally was like, I don't know that moving 5 hours away while Mars is in Sagittarius and Mercury is about to go retrograde really was like the best decision. Like, it just doesn't feel like smart. I don't know.
I feel like I'm reevaluating.
No. Yeah. My brain is like, it's like when you move, you're like, it's like that TikTok thing. It's like, I'm so happy.
I'm so sad. Yeah. Look. Yeah. I mean, also, the past couple of weeks for you have been like fucking going away parties and like a lot of lasts as well. So it's like intense, a build up.
It is. I think because we had our, me and my partner, we're moving away. We had our going away party like two weekends ago. And yeah, I just literally spent the 2 days after just bawling. Like, I just like could not stop crying. I was so sad. And yeah, it literally is that feeling of like, I'm literally just so excited to go. Like, you know, like I'm finishing up my job. I'm going to step more fully into my business. We're going to have a house of our own, like all these amazing things. But then I was also just like, oh, everything's ending. You know,
it's literally that sound. It's literally like that TikTok sound really sums it up. But I love it for you.
Sound of 2021, I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure it is too.
Did you see this? I'm so sorry for listening. This episode is a real schmozzle, by the way.
Like, this is how Beth and I just communicate.
There's no plan. Yeah. This is if we recorded all the chats that we have before and after recording, this is what you get. Did you see the new Pantone color for next year? Does anyone else follow that? Is it just me?
I mean, right now in this conversation, it is just you. I follow that. But let me know. Fair enough. You're like, oh, okay.
Look it up. Quick. You got your phone right there. Does anyone else follow the Pantone color of the year? I'm a big supporter. I wait for it every single year.
Oh my God. This is your color.
It's like Christmas. Yeah. Well, purple? That's why I'm so excited. It's like, what's it called? It's like it's not called Periwinkle, but it's Peri-Peri. And it's like this beautiful, soft periwinkle. And you know what's so fun? Like, Pantone really controls life. Like, straight up.
For anyone looking on.
Yeah.
It doesn't really.
Beautiful.
Anyway, look it up.
Bluey purple. Like, you know, if you looked at the sky as the sun is beginning to rise and you look at where the sun meets the night sky. That's
sorry. Do you work for them? Do you write the color description?
I moonlight. I'm their influencer. That's what's really excited me this week is
it actually is your color though,
like, color.
You love a bit of purple.
I do love a bit of purple because last year was quite. I just find it very interesting always looking at the color of the previous year because you're like, oh my God, I really did fucking see that everywhere, like Jesus. Like, for example, this year was ultimate gray and illuminating. So it was like a gray and yellow combo, which I feel like those kind of pops of color. No, it's horrible. That's why I'm so excited. Why do you think I'm so excited that 2022 is a nice year?
Fair enough.
2021 was garbage.
2020 was shit as well. 2019, yeah, well, I feel like orange.
Okay, but can we talk about how the Pantone, classic blue, depressing.
I hate that.
That was the color for 2020.
Living coral?
I feel like the Pantone color really sets up for the year. It's like an oracle, right? And so classic blue, depressing.
It 2022
is depressing.
I hate
2021
that.
Was yellow and gray. That makes no sense. 2021 has made no sense. And now
it actually does make any sense.
2022, we're getting very peri, which is like the color of like purple shampoo and that. Like it's like that beautiful purpley color. I am calling it. It's going to be a good year. That looks promising. This paired with like all the lovely little astrology things coming up. Wow. What a year. Wow. Right? Like we are getting like Jupiter's going to be in Pisces. Jupiter's going to be meeting up with Neptune. We are going to be having this like beautiful spiritual intuitive, like these hits and these gifts are going to be like,
because I was going to say third eye chakra vibes, right? The purple.
Antone, we see you. We see that astrologer who's sitting in your little, on the little board of directors. Get out of here. Be like,
I'm suggesting very peri.
Very peri.
Okay, we love that. You know what else I did this weekend? So our Eclipse Hangover episode, we mentioned Twilight, the Twilight saga. And we we had a few reactions.
Yeah, let's talk about this today. You're right. We should talk about this today because honestly, yeah, I had aggressive voice messages. You know who you are, Ollie. Coming at me. Being like, how dare you? Those movies are great.
I got those voice messages when I was like with my family. So I listened to them like a week later and I took it on seriously. I was like, okay, Ollie, I see you. I hear you. I'm going to rewatch it.
You fully rewatched it.
I'm up to Breaking Dawn part one now. I watched Twilight with my mom and we were watching it and I mean we can all agree that the first movie agree
it's your favorite. No, we can agree the first one's not the best of the series. But also it's that fucking iconic. Like I remember
it's so iconic.
My parents to let me go to the cinema begging, like being like, please. I remember, and then they wouldn't let me. And I remember just rewatching the Decode by Paramore film clip over and over because it had excerpts from the movie, right?
I remember this was iTunes days as well. I bought an iTunes gift card and bought the entire soundtrack. I was like, yes.
Remember buying iTunes gift cards? Oh my God.
I was like, that's how committed I was. I was like, I'm going to spend my iTunes gift card on this entire album. And that would have been about $20.
It's a lot. Okay. And again, we're side noting the side note. That's a great album. It really didn't have to go so hard, but it did.
It truly went so hard. Supernatural Black. Anyway.
I know. I was just thinking. I was like, yes. Muse. Why haven't I listened to Muse in so long?
That baseball scene. Anyway. And also, can I just say the filter on the first Twilight movie, just like that blue sad filter that's on it. I wanted that to be the filter of my life. Like I found that so romantic, like depression aesthetic.
Honestly. That very peri color. It's the Pantone color.
Honestly.
Also, I'm kind of bitter that they didn't continue that through all the movies. Whoever made that choice.
Because I turned New Moon on basically like right away afterwards. And I'm like, sorry, this is sunny. This is a bit of a like, excuse me. I'm not used to the sun. But anyway, we've side noted the side note many times now, but I took it seriously. I took the feedback seriously. So I wanted to go back and watch it because I feel like Twilight, when I say I was like, I was hardcore Twilight fan, fucking hardcore.
You're in good company. Don't stress.
Now when I see it, it is like, I'm like, oh, it's like, haha, guilty pleasure. And the voice note from Ollie was like, no, it just is great. Like it doesn't have to be guilty.
Pleasure. There's no guilt.
It's just pleasure. And I was like, you know what? Fair enough. Am I like, you know, gaslighting myself to for enjoying it? So I really tried to take Twilight seriously, but I couldn't. There's Edward, when he is like, say it out loud, vampire. And then he's like, I'm going to take you up to where, you know, the clouds have broken.
I'm the most dangerous predator.
And he goes in the sun.
I literally rewatched it like 2 weekends ago too.
And he like goes into the sun and he's sparkly. And he's like, this is the skin of a killer, Bella. She's like, you're beautiful. Oh, that's hilarious. It's
I was watching that. Yeah, I watched it 2 weekends ago. It's my go-to when I'm like a bit hungover.
Yes.
I was very hungover after my Christmas, after my going away party.
Totally.
I was not supposed to have a big night.
Yeah.
Stayed up till 3 a.m. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So classic 7 a.m. when you feel like you're going to vomit, you're waiting for your Uber Eats Maccas, you put on Twilight.
It's absolutely just
and I was watching the scene in the hospital. It was after, spoiler alert, if no one's watched. Spoiler alert. It's after he saves her in the car accident and they're at the hospital and she's like, you were on the other side of the car park. And he's like, and she's like, hell, what going at him? And he's like, you know, I did save you. And she, yeah. And he's like, the least you could say is thank you. And she's like, thank you. And I was like, that is so awkward. Why? Why?
But also the amount of gaslighting that was going on there. You're confused, oh, Bella.
Yeah. Like,
it would, you bitch.
You get out of here. But yeah, which one's your favorite?
See, I'm finding it hard to now look. New Moon. Okay. New Moon, least favorite, obviously for me, because I'm Team Edward. And so I didn't like that he wasn't in it a lot.
That's fair enough.
And also I hated in the book. Was that the book that they had Jacob's point of view? I hated reading that book as well. I was like, don't give me
fun. No one wants to read anything from Jacob's point of view.
I don't want to hear your wolf chronicles. Like, can we not? I don't want your inner monologue. But also, can I say, while watching Twilight, I thought when I was like 12, 13, that Bella was the epitome of like style and fashion. I wanted to wear everything she wore. I wanted her long brown hair, her like thick hair.
Mate.
And looking back, I was like,
make a mistake. I remember wanting to get like, you know, like, oh, I'm so embarrassing. The Cullen jewelry, like how they had all like the wristbands and the necklaces with like the emblem, like the family emblem. I remember looking, a clear memory. I remember looking them up on eBay and like listing down the prices and going to my mom being like, okay, like I just need this amount of money. It covers shipping. Like,
okay,
I will do
this. Hear me out.
Yeah. I have a business proposition. Like,
please look at my slideshow.
It's embarrassing.
This is a good idea.
Yeah. Eclipse is good.
Yeah. Like, but not your favorite. Is that your least favorite?
I don't know. I honestly think New Moon's my favorite.
Oh my God.
Which
for
is
real?
Because I am Team Edward. But I just, when I think of New Moon, like, okay, so there's a couple good things that happen in New Moon.
Yeah.
One, Taylor Lautner gets a haircut and stops wearing that horrible wig. Amazing.
Yeah.
Also, him being shirtless is always going to be a plus. That I will never say no to that in my book. I am Team Edward. Yeah. I will never say no. But also, you get to see Edward shirtless because that thing where he takes his shirt off at the end when he's trying to expose himself to the Volturi and get murdered.
You're right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I always think of that. I always think of her like running through to try and like save him. And I just think that whole end scene is so lovely.
It is when, like, in my mind,
the Volturi, and
that's in Eclipse for some reason.
See, no,
that's
definitely New Moon.
No, it is. No, 100% it is. But I've like detached it from New Moon because I'm like, ew, New Moon.
Hate that movie. Yeah.
But that is my favorite. That is an iconic part because obviously we wanted them to be reunited.
What even happens? Oh, hold on.
Eclipse is just Victoria. It's Victoria makes that army of newborns to come and kill.
No interest in that. No interest in that.
I mean, honestly, Bella though was like, she was glow up in that movie. I was like, damn, Bella.
So if that happens in Eclipse, then what the fuck goes on in the two Breaking Dawns?
Breaking Dawn 1, they get married.
The first one literally just the wedding and the pregnancy.
And their honeymoon,
that's it.
They get pregnant. And then it ends at her being like waking up, I think.
Oh, with the gross where all her bones reconnected.
Yes.
I hate
and
that.
Then
you're right. I hate that.
We come back, Breaking Dawn 2, she's a vamp. But then we've got the Volturi
and then
issue.
The vampire army, the vampire fight with the iconic fight scene that shook everyone. I have a question.
Yeah.
Why the fuck did they make one movie about them getting married, getting pregnant, and having
I'm
a baby?
Not sure. Thinking back on it. How did they stretch? Literally, the first movie is just her sitting down, being like, "I'm so pregnant," and everyone being like, "Bella, kill it!" Like, that's what they're doing. They're like,
"No need to watch the movie now, friends. That's it." And then Breaking Dawn, the last Breaking Dawn is very good. Like that. Maybe scene, Breaking Dawn. Did you watch that like in the cinema when it came out?
I did, and I was like, we were all like, what the fuck? They've got way off script.
I know. It wasn't literally the whole scene. I remember that. That's another, like, that's something that I will, that's so lame, that I'll just always look back and I'm like, man,
I can't believe they did that.
I watched it live. Because I just watched recently, Remy, who everyone would have listened to last week on the podcast,
was literally looking at her stories.
They had never watched or listened to Twilight. Like, they never watched it and they'd never read it. Yes. And so they were watching it on the weekend and I was following their stories. And so they were like, someone told me to record myself watching like a fight scene in the last movie. So like, here's that. And yeah, I just like, I felt like I was reliving it because it was like,
what? Remy was like, thank God I wasn't in the cinema because I definitely would have screamed.
Yeah, we all did. I remember that. I also remember, I think it's the end of Eclipse when he proposes, like right at the end.
Yeah.
They get there in that flower field and he proposes to her because then they get married in the Breaking Dawn part one.
Yeah.
I remember people in my cinema were like, and I was like, did you not read the fucking book? Jesus. Yeah,
I know. Like, because that's why Breaking Dawn shook me so much, because I was like, I'd read the book about 20 times.
Yeah, same.
So,
wow.
Yeah, but I'm up to Breaking Dawn now. So, anyway, I tried to watch it seriously. I hope we've been able to
provide Twilight a bit of a redemption arc on this podcast. It will, and if you don't like Twilight, I'm so sorry, but this will not be the last time that it's mentioned on this podcast. So just get comfortable.
The reason why I brought that up is because this episode is about the year that was. And honestly, the year that was for me includes 2020 as well, because I feel like one big fucking, you know, year. And so 2020 and 2021 has been a Twilight renaissance. A brilliant renaissance of people bringing it back through memes, the TikToks.
And also, unapologetically. Like, people, and that's actually something that I've seen quite a lot this year. People are just so unapologetically like, you know what? I like this thing. You can't shame me anymore. I don't care, because you know what? I'm going to go on TikTok and I'm going to find Twilight TikTok and they're going to appreciate me and understand me. You know what I mean? And yeah. I'm just here for it.
I'm here for it. But anyway, I still think that when I first watched Twilight, here's my summary for Ollie, basically. When I first watched Twilight, I was so engrossed. I was like, this is incredible filmmaking. I'm so in love with Edward. I'm so in love with, you know, Bella as well. Like, just the both of them. I wanted everything to do with that movie. I wanted to be a vampire. Okay. But I look back at it now.
I said it.
Okay. I consumed every vampire novel that was available at that time. But now I look back and I think I have a lot healthier idea of what, you know, relationships and love. And obviously, I look back at it now, I'm like, this is not healthy.
No, it is the red flag. It's a bit fucked up.
And it's very dramatic, but I'll give a full summary when I watch The Breaking Dawns. But yeah, apologies to anyone who didn't like our bagging out of Twilight, basically, because we love it, but we love to also bag it out now.
Yeah, I know, and it's really hard because my partner. But, and that's what Ollie said in the voice note. She was like, "I totally back up Georgia. My partner loves it and gets really mad when I take the piss out of it." But that's part of the joy.
It is part of the joy.
I did actually recently with, oh my God, have you watched Kissing Booth on Netflix?
No, I've never.
Okay, you need to watch it like ASAP and message me throughout it. Let and me that put we'll discuss on my notes. Fun. Maybe we should have like a movie review segment.
Okay. Kissing Booth.
It doesn't all have to be boring, you know, spirituality and astrology here, guys. We can talk about everything. The Kissing Booth is like easily, because people, there's three of them. There's three Kissing Booth movies. So I was like, these must be like really good. And people always talk about them. So I had high expectations. It's got that Jacob Elordi in it from Euphoria, who's quite handsome.
Oh, yeah.
The long face. And Joey King from The Act and I don't know what else she's in. I'm not going to spoil. No spoilers in this. No spoilers on this podcast except.
Well, I've got to watch Twilight.
But no spoilers. But Twilight's is one prerequisite of the cringiest, most awkward, most horrible movies I've ever watched. I was obsessed with it. As soon as it finished, I wanted to rewatch it because it was fascinating how horrible it was. Like, oh my God, you're gonna get it. And if anyone's watched already, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't watched The Kissing Booth and you love shit movies, please watch it.
Here's the cover art for it. The Kissing Booth. She can tell her best friend anything except this one thing. Wow, what a cliffhanger.
The drama. And it's, oh man, it's so, there's one part, right? Like, Avi, you will know it, but when there's a motorcycle and rain, that is peak awful.
Okay.
It's awful. And again, anyone listening to that, it's horrible. And if you have watched it and you're like, I don't remember it being that bad, rewatch it because I'm right.
Rewatch it with a critical eye.
With a critical eye. It doesn't. And you know what? It can be a half closed critical eye because you'll still spot everything. It's that bad. It's horrible.
Okay, but I'm excited. So
much. I'm like obsessed. The other two are actually pretty decent. Like they get better, I find.
Do they? Okay.
But it's horrible. And they're, oh, no. Anyways, yeah, we'll discuss. You know what, guys? Okay. That's going to be our first episode back in January. We're going to talk about
it's on my list. It's on my homework list.
Because, damn. Or we might just have to record an emergency episode next week, Abby, and just put out an extra one.
I can't hold my opinions in. I need to record an episode now.
Everyone must know. So I love that. So guys, we're coming up to Christmas.
Anyway.
How nice. Do you like Christmas? Are you a Christmas person?
I love Christmas. Yeah, absolutely. I'm one and only child. So Christmas was always a huge deal. It was like a second birthday because I was the only one in the house and my parents were like obsessed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, love it.
We generally always have Christmas at my house. So that was always really fun as well. Like I got to have it at my house so I could go like have a nap whenever I wanted, retreat whenever I wanted.
Always an essential Christmas dinner.
Exactly. And I had all my presents on hand. You know what I mean? So yeah, conclusion, I love it. What about you?
Yeah, no, I really like it. I really kind of only come into it in the last few years. Obviously growing up, we didn't celebrate Christmas. There's a religion that we grew up in, was no Christmas, no birthdays, like literally just no fun. hate fun. It's the worst. And so I've kind of only really stepped into Christmas the last few years. So I'm like, man, I'm festive as hell. Even working in retail, it still hasn't quite dampened. Like I still hate work so much. Like, oh God.
It kind of sucks.
And if you're listening to this,
I hate retail
for Christmas and you still haven't, like, if you're still doing shopping, please be very nice to retail workers.
Me.
We are struggling big time. But that's beside the point. I love it. I only ever want to watch Christmas like as soon as December 1st hits, Christmas movies. Only Christmas things. Like my partner's like, man, why? And I'm like, I could watch The Grinch every day of December and I would just be fine. I'd be so happy. Yeah. I love Christmas music. I've got like a handful of Christmas albums that I just love. I listen to the same stuff every year. I get a bottle of Shiraz gin. Have you tried that before? The Four Pillars Shiraz gin.
I can't have gin because I'm allergic to coriander. And I know it sounds like I don't like coriander. I like the taste of it. Allergic. When I have gin,
like the taste of it. Oh my God, we should swap because I fucking hate the taste of it. But
well, yeah, because a lot of gin,
coriander was in gin.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, coriander is usually used in the when you're distilling gin. I was like distillation. the process when you distill gin.
When they make the gin, it is used.
The gin is, yeah. Anyway, so I can have one drink of gin and I'll throw up.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, don't have that. But basically,
okay, don't then.
Are you
so sorry.
Baileys then for Christmas? Are you? What's your Christmas drink?
I've never had Baileys before.
Abby,
I know. I'm not sure what's wrong with me. For me, I've had a bit of a tumultuous ride with alcohol. So for me, usually alcohol was getting absolutely shit-faced, not something to enjoy with my family. And I, you know, I didn't obviously want to be shit-faced around my family. No. So I don't usually drink around my family. This year.
I Yeah, I get that. I actually really like the taste of some drink, like the certain things. Like I love a Bailey's with a little splash of milk and some ice.
I'm going to have Bailey's this year.
Yeah, it's nice. And it's like, it's not super, well, it's not super alcoholic. But yeah, Bailey's, a little bit of like vanilla almond milk and some ice. Delicious. So it yummy. It
sounds like my type of drink, honestly.
Yeah, it's just nice. It's just like a nice sweet dessert drink. One of my friends would always spend Christmas together because my family didn't do anything. And me and her older brother would do breakfast Baileys. So like literally 7 a.m. is very unhealthy. If you're not from Australia and you're not sure what Australia's drinking culture is like, that's it.
Totally normal. And then, I did not bat an eyelid.
But no, I love, what's your like Christmas movie?
Christmas movie as well. You're like at this moment being like, what the fuck? She loves Christmas, but she's not into any of the Christmas.
Yeah, so things. She doesn't like Christmas movies. So, no, she doesn't like tinsel, and she also hates reindeers. What do you mean?
Okay, here's the thing. It's not that I don't like Christmas movies, but it's never been a thing for me. I don't know why, but I did watch Elf the other day and I was like, this is so fun. Mm. Oh, I was talking when I was
very funny.
I went back to visit my family in Orange like a week ago, and I went over to my nana's place and she was like, yeah, I usually watch Christmas movies at night, so I'm happy going to bed. Because she's like, she was like, sometimes I have bad dreams if I'm watching a stressful TV show. And I was
I relate, Nana. I get it.
Anyway, so that's what I've been doing. Get it.
Yeah.
So all I can say is Elf right now. But I need it. I haven't seen The Grinch.
Christ. Jesus.
I'm like, Christ. I love Christmas.
Sorry, Jesus. Sorry, your birthday's so lame. Abby doesn't watch any Christmas movies. So there's a few that you need to get into. Okay. Yeah.
How about I do a Christmas movie a night? Let me write this down.
Yeah, I would. I support The Grinch. That. So there's The Grinch. There's the original with Jim Carrey, but there's also a new animated version. Both good. I like the animated version. I like the Lorax and stuff, like those Dr. Seuss films, but the original with Jim Carrey is priceless.
Yeah.
Elf is obviously great. You can go like classic, like a Christmas Carol is quite good, but I like the really lame ones. So I like Netflix always puts out really shit Christmas movies.
I watched again, one actually with Nina Dobrev.
What's the name of that? I can't think of it now, but that one is quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah. A
Christmas Prince. Okay.
There's three of them. They're horrendous and it's awesome. Watch a Christmas Prince. Me and Georgia watched that last Christmas and then she hated it so much. And I did too, but I just thought it was hilarious. And so I said, like, this is our Christmas tradition now. Like, we've got to watch them every year.
Yeah.
And he was like, how dare you? And I said, well, it's happening. And there's a Christmas Prince. There's also the Princess Switch has, like, I believe is Christmassy. The Night Before Christmas also has Vanessa Hudgens on Netflix. That's really bad.
I haven't watched any of these guys.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. These are like quite left of field ones. Although unpopular opinion, Love Actually, which is like the most popular Christmas movie, I can't stand.
I've never seen it.
I might rewatch it though. Maybe I wasn't ready for it when I watched it, but no, I would like to know if people like Love Actually. I'm not a big fan. The Holiday is really good.
Okay. Are these all Netflix? All the ones
I can think of. If anyone, like Netflixy Stanny type. Vibes.
Anyone
can think of any Christmas movies that we've missed that Abby must watch.
Probably just message me because Beth's probably on top of it.
I was about to say message Abby, make her watch them. But no, I really love. Again, it's that like it's really similar to what your nana said. Like it is that just happy. Like it's that familiarity. I really like watching same things over and over because I'm just like, oh, like you know,
it's that time of the year.
It's just as good when I last watched it. Like how great.
But I put this up on my Instagram. I got my Christmas pajamas. I did a session in my Christmas pajamas. Let me get them. They are Peter Alexander's finest.
Oh, I love Peter Alexander. I have got quite a few I love.
Bit of a plaid moment. Anyway.
Yeah, love. I've got one with the Grinch on it. I just quickly Googled best Christmas movies and there's more. These two are quite essential actually. Noel is really good. It's very underrated. It's only from 2019. It's on Disney+. It's got Anna Kendrick and Bill Hader.
Okay. Brilliant. Yeah. Sounds
and then
good.
Last Christmas, which again, from 2019, it's got Emilia Clarke. That one, and it's to the music of, who sang Last Christmas? George Michael? Yeah.
Okay. I'm really bad with names.
But you cannot rely on me. There's so many Christmas movies, but those are my faves.
I've got One a Night Until Christmas, so that's going to be my.
She's all over it. But yeah, start with The Grinch. I love The Grinch. The Grinch is my favorite. I will like rewatch time and time again. I mean, but yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I've seen, you know how they're always on TV leading up to Christmas. Mm. So I've seen like bits and bobs of it, but I've never sat down and watched it. Mm. Yes. So I know what The Grinch looks like. I know, you know, a little bit, but I have no idea what the, well, yeah. I mean, I know The Grinch doesn't like Christmas, right? Is that right?
It's slightly in the title. I'll be honest. You've kind of just, yeah, you're exactly right. The Grinch hates Christmas.
Okay, that's all
and
I know.
And it's like he's in a town of Whos, and the Whos love Christmas and he hates it. And he's like the only one that doesn't like Christmas.
Because, I mean, people say that as well. Like, oh, you're being a, you know, stop being a Grinch. Yeah. Okay.
Poor Grinch. He gets a bad rap.
See me talking about it. I'm like, I'm not sure.
Like, I expect like reviews on your Instagram story or something, please. Like a little
synopsis. I'll do a Remy moment. Remy had their review of Twilight. I'll do my Christmas.
That'd be great.
Movie review.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. But I'm really excited for Christmas. I think it's nice. I think it's a time of year where, you know, we do actually have to remember to be happy, because it can be really easy to just be stressed.
Yeah, but it totally, because even like things like getting presents for people can start being things like that are stressful to do, because I love putting together presents for people and giving people presents. That's like one of my favorite things to do. But I was home on the weekend and my dad was like, why are we doing so many presents? And I was like, Dad, babes, calm it down.
Oh my God. I call my parents babes all the time. My dad is always like, I'm not your babes. I'm not your babe. And I'm like, no, it's all right, babes.
Babes, calm it down.
I do too.
But yeah, because things like that, or organizing. I mean, we have Christmas lunches if you've, you know, got a team at work, or all these different things that can become a little bit stressful. There's a lot going on. But it is a fabulous time. It's an exciting time.
And every January 1st, I'm always like, oh, you know, that's a shame.
I know.
I think it'll be good. And I guess to kind of finish up, because I'm just realizing we've been talking for some time.
We've talked about nothing.
We should probably shut the fuck up at some point. Abby, what is your win for 2021?
My win for 2021 is the commitment to exploration. This year, I committed to myself that I would explore not only myself, but things that made me excited, which has led me to where I am. I, you know, did so many different courses. We all know. Beth and I have
every course.
Is it a problem? Or is it a good thing? We have a thing with doing a lot of courses, but it's led me here. And that's probably my win for the year, like getting to this place with myself, getting to this place in like really stepping into my business, into things like this with you. That's my win. I feel like so excited about it. So like fulfilled, where this time last year, I was feeling very in the lurch, like lost. So that's my win, my commitment to myself, basically.
Yeah, I love that.
Yay me.
No, that's so good. Go Abby. She also graduated uni.
That's true. I keep forgetting. I got my official letter of completion a couple of days ago and I was like, okay, I did it right.
Were you like, oh, what's that for?
You've already fully forgotten about it. Because I never like consulted an academic advisor. I changed degrees 3 times and I was like, I'll just plan it out by myself. Lucky I did it right. Anyway, I did it right. I've graduated. Not officially.
Brilliant.
What's yours?
Mine is...
Did you already say it? Probably, no, you saw your whinge.
Yeah, I've just been whinging up until this point. It's been a solid hour of whinge. something different. My win for the year is actually really similar. Like, I guess, like, I've just worked freaking hard. And I feel like I'm at this point now where I've got the result I get, you know, like, yes. You know, when you like work really hard, you do the thing and you're just like, oh, is this even worth it? Like, and yeah, totally. When I reflect back on last year, and I totally encourage everyone, you know, take a moment to like, look at everything you've done, because it's been a hell of a year. But yeah, I guess when I look to this time last year, you know, I was like so lost. I didn't know what I had a vague idea of what I wanted to do, but I didn't think I could do it at all. And then I've done it. So yeah, my win is that, you know, I've built up this business. I've connected with amazing new friends. I've made this awesome podcast, which is like my favorite thing in the world to do. And I've, yeah, quit my job and I'm moving to start kind of a new phase in my life. So I guess my win is that I just, I worked really hard and I was actually really disciplined with myself, which I've always really struggled. I've always been very like all or nothing. So it's very easy for me to like do the thing, but then not finish it through.
Same.
I feel like this year I've really like committed to just like keep showing up. And I'm just like, yeah, babe, damn, that's sick.
I'm proud of me. I'm proud of you.
Proud of me.
It's proud of us.
I'm proud of you. It's yeah, it's been a hell of a year. And I know it's been the same for everyone, but I just feel like yeah, how exciting that we get to move through and
see what happens next year.
Start to thrive. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Start to build on all the lessons from, because the last 2 years really have been learning curves. That's kind of been the astrology has really just been teaching us the last 2 years, like, you know, we've had a lot of Saturn Uranus squares. We've had these Gemini Sagittarius eclipses. So it's been a time of learning and just being like, you need to be open to lessons. And there's tension, but the tension has been to show us what needs to change. I mean, we're going through now globally the mass resignation.
Yeah.
Employers cannot keep people and cannot get new people because everyone is choosing themselves and they're realizing, you know what? I actually am not getting anything from this job beside money. I could get money anywhere. I'm stressing myself out for nothing. I choose myself over my job, over some corporation or company. And I think that's so reflective of the lessons that we've moved through and what we're moving towards now, like 2022. With this Taurus Scorpio eclipse, Jupiter in Pisces and Neptune, it's like we're choosing our desires, we're choosing our dreams. Like that's fucking powerful. And we have so much learning of the last 2 years that gives us such a solid ground to understand, I know now what I'm not going to put up with and I'm going to do better and I'm going to choose better. I'm going to work smarter, not harder.
Yeah, exactly. What are you most excited for your 2022?
Like just in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really excited for the move. We actually move on like the 5th of Jan. So it's like really kick off my 2022 with a bang. I'm excited to move. I'm excited to come over to Sydney and meet you and work with you in person.
Yes.
Abby actually have two really exciting projects and they're what I'm most excited for. Cause those two things that we're, and I'm also doing, I'm doing Natalia Benson's coaching certification. It's 9 months, Jan to September. And I'm really excited to see where that is able to take me in terms of my business.
I'm so excited for you. I am probably number one excited to do. I'm doing, my hypnotherapy certification.
Ooh, so
I'm really excited for that and where that will take me. I just feel that's really with Nikki like
Cosmo, hey?
Yeah, really excited for that and to learn all about that. I love doing different things, man.
Loves to learn, loves a modality.
We loves it. And same with you, just like the possibility that's available with what we're doing together and also just in my business as well. Just feeling like such a sense of excitement. I've deferred my graduate job offer, which was a corporate job. I'm going to be getting jaw surgery sometime next year. So I'll have like a lot of time to build my business, do the things that I really love and finally get my jaw operation, which I've wanted like all my life. So there's a lot of things. There's so much excitement. As the Pantone color indicates, it's going to be a good year. Yeah.
Very Perry. It's going to be very
Perry. That'll be our first episode. Okay,
that's the name of the episode. Very Perry.
Very Perry. Everyone's going to be like, the fuck? But anyway, thank you all for listening to us for this shit talking episode, but also what we've done so far. We haven't been going the whole year, but what we've done up until this point, we're taking a couple weeks off for Christmas. And we're so excited for what we're going to bring forward in this podcast, more exciting guests, more other things that will, you know, transpire. And yeah, I love everyone who's listening and I love you, Beth.
Oh, I love you too. Yeah, this podcast is actually one of, my absolute highlights. And, you know, like me and Abby, like she said, we both do a lot. We do all the things, we put a lot of things forward. But when people message me about this is what makes me go like, oh my God, like people listen, people like, I know. Like that is still crazy to me. So yeah, thank you all so much for listening. And also I think, and I know I keep rambling, but it is what it is. Like, I think the transition from, you know, when we started this podcast, it was going to be like very like, you know, just about the astrology and teaching people and those sorts of things. And I think based on what everyone's been sharing, like to have the space to literally have episodes like this where we just talk shit and like we're just ourselves, and the fact that these are always the ones that you guys, you know, listen to the most and really seem to enjoy means so much, because it shows that, you know, you guys you like us.
I know.
We like you.
Literally.
And it's wild. Yeah. And yeah, to be able to just share these really wacky conversations that we hope that you guys just, get some, even just some entertainment and joy out of, but then a little bit of learning is the best. So grateful for all of you. So grateful for you, Abby. We wish you guys all a Merry Christmas, a happy and very safe New Year. And we will be back mid-Jan. Is that right? Early Jan?
Yeah.
You'll see us around. We'll be posting on the Instagrams when we're back.
Yes.
If you're missing out on episodes, rewatch them.
Yeah.
Re-listen.
Go have a check it out on YouTube, maybe.
Go have a check out. And then, if you're wanting to, you know, start off your new year right, Abby's timeline jumping is a really powerful way to do that. New year, new timeline. Yeah, exactly. Get really clear on your direction. And then I've also got at the start of January a 2022 masterclass. So going all over the astrology for the year ahead. It'll be Sunday the 9th of Jan. So if you guys, are interested in that, all the links are in the show notes and stuff.
I'll be there.
Abby, everyone, you know, let's set ourselves up for success.
Yes.
Let's follow the motivation that always comes with Capricorn season, where we're feeling like accomplished, driven, and like, yes, I'm going to have all these goals, I'm going to do all the things. But let's follow it up with action. And I can't wait to be back in Jan.
Yay. Okay. Thank you guys so much. And see you soon. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Mystic Millennial Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share, leave a review, and make sure to subscribe so you never miss an ep. Thank you.
Bye.